I'm moved to begin with my gratitude for all of you. And I think it's a phenomenal activity, wholesome, beneficial activity to engage in a retreat like this. And all of you have done retreats before. So if today was a little bit challenging, which can often be the case first day, hopefully you're familiar with that already and not too discouraged by it or take it all in stride. This is part of the process that we're in. And one of the, I think, very significant aspects of this mindfulness practice, Buddhist practice, is that it's an ongoing process. It's an unfolding over time. And to be too focused, even though we talk a lot about being in the present moment, to be too focused on finding results in the present moment is a distraction. But to appreciate that we're involving ourselves in a process that's onward leading, and in that onward leading nature of it, trusting it, trusting how it unfolds. And we offer our sincere attention to the present moment and our goodness to the practice, and then we're moved along. And in the tradition, there are two primary metaphors for this moving along in the practice, and one is that of a path, and the other is that of a stream, being carried along in the current of a stream. And they're two very different kind of analogies or metaphors, where the but I, for what I'd like to emphasize today is that a path is something we walk, and you walk by taking steps, one step after the other. And if you are trying to get someplace, go someplace, you don't stop and become like the hare that's rested against a tree while the tortoise won the race. You know, you just got to keep walking steadily, like sometimes like a tortoise, a turtle. A friend of mine, a Dharma student, has a on her ankle has a tortoise, and I think it's there because when she sits cross-legged and meditate, and she can look down at her ankle, there's that tortoise to remind her it's slow and steady, one step at a time. And now the idea is that you keep walking, you don't stop, and but you just take the next step, the next step, the next step. The other analogy is that of a stream, a current in a stream. And at some point, if you're in the water or in a boat, in a rowboat, and you manage to get yourself into the current in the middle of the river, it'll carry you down. Unless something interferes, unless you run into an eddy, you run across a shoal, boat gets stuck, or you get entangled in the branches from trees on the sides of the, coming off the sides of the bank. And but if you're able to stay in the middle of the river, then the river will carry you and move you along. And you have a role, and that is to keep yourself in the stream, in the current, but you're not doing the heavy paddling. You're being carried along. So one analogy is we do the walking, and the other analogy is something carries us and moves us along, and we have to kind of stay on track. And so sometimes practice can feel like we have to do the manual work. We have to engage and practice and kind of keep ourselves from being spending too long in distracted thoughts, and or too much drifting off in thought and sleep. And it could feel like manual labor. It's like this is what we offer. We're offering ourselves to the practice. And other times it can feel like something, some Dharma momentum is beginning to, practice momentum is beginning to build, and we just have to kind of stay in it and carry on and keep going. And if we decide to, you know, after 5, 6 hours of the first day of retreat, well, that was pretty good, and I think I'm going to go, I think, it's probably a good time now that I'm present and pretty present and pretty impacted by things. I think I'm going to go and switch over on my computer to watch a movie, because that would be a really good use of that momentum that's built up. But that, it doesn't, it's maybe good for movie watching, but it's not good for the continuing the Dharma momentum. So we have to kind of stay in the flow so we can keep unfolding, keep moving along. So one of the ways we stay in the flow or stick or with the way we keep taking these simple steps is this very simple thing called clear comprehension. It's a translation of sampajana that I'm using here. Bhikkhu Bodhi in one place translates it as full awareness. Analio translated as clear knowing. But clear comprehension. Or I sometimes I'll, what you know actually what I like to do is, and probably use it for this talk, is clear recognition. It's the act of simple act of clear recognition, simple act of recognition. It's could also just be maybe translated or understood provisionally as just being conscious, living a conscious life. The etymology of the word conscious has the same etymology as the word sampajana. The sam is the same as the kan, and the pajanati is the same as the science, the sentience of conscious, to know with, to know together with, and to live a conscious life, to live a conscious life in the activities of our life, which means that we are aware of what we're doing when we're doing it. We're conscious of what's happening in the present moment. And it's very easy to lose that because we get distracted, we get in a hurry, we're ahead of ourselves with our thoughts and activities, and we start doing things absentmindedly or distractedly, or we're not really taking the time to let what's happening in our life be registered, be experienced fully. And there's something marvelous that happens when we take time to be consciously aware of what's happening, take the time to let it register and feel it and be with it. And the wonderful thing is that coming from the same etymological roots is the English word conscientious, to be conscientious. And apparently in Old English, being conscious and being conscientious kind of had the same meaning. Somehow, in some point, they, a few centuries ago, they split apart. And a conscience, to have a conscience and to have consciousness were considered the same. And so if we can be conscious in a careful, full, careful way with what's happening moment to moment, it taps into our wonderful, valuable, beautiful capacity for being conscientious, to have a conscience, to have an ethical feel for the life we live, and to live in a way that's ethical and wholesome. That's much harder to do if we live distractedly. And the impulses to speak, impulses to do, are not really fully conscious, and we're not fully aware of them. So this sampajana is the training in living a conscious life, being present for our life as we live it. And it's hard to do it in daily life. So we come on retreat. And one of the purposes of retreat is to train in being conscious, to live a conscious life, to be present for our experience, what's happening as we live it. And to be able to do it with some continuity through the day, to not have it interrupted by every notification on your phone or, all these things that kind of interrupt it, but to be able to stay in the flow, be connected. And one of the things I find quite remarkable also about the practice of mindfulness, the practice of clear comprehension, is how radically simple it is. If it's complicated, it probably is not vipassana. It's radically simple, and because of that, sometimes people kind of feel like, well, it's too simplistic for me. I'm going to do something more sophisticated. But it's radically simple. And perhaps you can get some sense of the value of this simple, clear knowing in the analogy of taking a rowboat floating down in the stream of a river. That the person who has the oars of the boat has, or the paddles, has some role of keeping the boat in the stream, keeping it on track. But it usually doesn't have a lot of heavy rowing to do. It's just kind of keeping it on track and keeping in the stream, heading the right direction. But if that rowboat has dragging behind it on a long metal chain, a really heavy anchor, you know, even if the river is really deep and the anchor is not touching the bottom, that's going to be a tremendous drag on the boat. And so the boat's not going to go through the water very fast. If it's really heavy, the boat might even stop or slow down a lot. But then if the water is, if they're shallow enough, then the anchor will get stuck and the boat won't go at all. And so often what happens in our lives is that we are not in the flow of the present moment because we have all this drag that slows us down, that catches us up, all these eddies we get caught in. So we get caught up in distracted thought. Those can be the eddies that we get caught in, and we circle and circle in thought. Or we can have preoccupations, a lot of preoccupations about me, myself, and I, me, myself, and mine, that operate as kind of drag, independent of whether you have or don't have a self and all those kinds of issues. Most of the concerns around self operate as wind drag, as water drag. It just, you know, slows the whole operation down, keeps us from really trusting the flow and being in the current. It's like bringing a tremendous amount of baggage with you on the path that you're going to walk. You bring everything, including the kitchen sink, your refrigerator, and its contents with you in order to make sure you have everything you need on your hike in the mountains, in the forest. And you just, you know, it's a lot of drag. It's a lot of weight. It's a lot of, it interferes with the ability to really go smoothly. So we bring a lot with us in our minds, in our thoughts, in our hearts, our feelings, that operate as kind of slowing us down. And it slows us down in the sense that it keeps us from flowing freely. It keeps us from walking freely. And it's possible to experience the difference between the mind, our presence, our consciousness, our awareness being free, and it being hindered, it being caught up in, slowed down by, lost in these eddies and different things it can be caught in. And clear comprehension, clear recognition, is a very simple, meant to be a very simple practice that helps free up awareness. So it's not in the eddies, it's not, doesn't have these anchors it's trying to pull with it. It just kind of flows along. And this is how it works. It can work. That if you keep a nice, relaxed, steady pace, rhythm, and clearly recognizing what's happening in the moment as it's happening, very the obvious, the most simple thing that's happening. And let's choose for now just the breathing, but it could be, doesn't have to be so, but you clearly recognize the in-breath. You clearly recognize the out-breath. And maybe you do it with a mental note, in, out. But that clear recognition is pretty simple. And maybe it's so simple it doesn't seem like so interesting. But if you could keep doing it, every, I don't know how long, every second, you make a note, breathing in, breathing out, in, out. In that moment, the mind is not preoccupied with other things. In that moment, you've kind of interrupted, to some degree, interrupted the stream of distractions, the streams of thinking and being involved and feeling other things that we get caught in, that are the drag or the eddies. And for that moment. And then I think many of you know how quickly it is to slip away into thought. But if you didn't slip away immediately, if you kind of are dedicated to noting the out-breath, out, in, out, in, out. I have to stop sooner, I'll bore you, but in, out. If you're doing that for yourself, you're steadily, moment by moment, not allowing yourself to pick up the baggage. You're not allowing yourself to go into the eddies. You're not allowing yourself to keep dragging these anchors with you. And doing that 2 or 3 times, 10 times, even 100 times, might not even seem so significant. But slowly, as you do it, the energy of attention, energy of the mind, is no longer feeding the distractions, no longer feeding the preoccupations as much. And there starts to be a settling, a quieting of all that. And at some point, the recognition that we're doing, a simple act of recognition, starts to be, starts feeling the freedom of it, or the clarity of it, or the simplicity of it, that it's no longer the heavy weight of the past, the contracted concern, anxiety about the future, all the ways that we are might maybe self-conscious and having self-conscious thoughts about this and that, begin to lighten up and lighten up and lighten up and recede and begin kind of washing off the side of the boat and disappearing off the wake or something. And then the clear recognition, the clear awareness starts being more and more appreciated. It starts feeling more like Inez this morning talked about the practice of being a homecoming. It can feel like a homecoming, this very simplest, simple sense of freedom, of openness, of presence, that needs so little to feel some sense of deep, abiding satisfaction or health, wholesomeness or health. It doesn't need to accomplish things. It doesn't need to prove yourself to people. It doesn't need to spend a lot of time concerned with protecting yourself for imaginary futures. It's just here, just here. So to maintain a steady stream, very simple, very relaxed, but committed process of clear recognition. There's a sound, recognizing it as a sound. There's an itch, recognizing an itch. Settling into the breathing and in, out, rising, falling of the chest or the belly. And then this art of this clear recognition, one of the arts of it is learning how to recognize so that it feels nice for you. It's a pleasure. It's kind of calm and relaxed and nice. If it feels like a duty, if it feels like a strain, if it feels like you have to kind of barrel ahead and push a lot, and you know, like these clear acts of recognition are supposed to be like torpedoes you send shooting at whatever you're aware of. And, you know, it's not going to be so nice. But is there a way with the inner voice or with their inner attitude, inner quality of being, that you could find and you can experiment with that just feels nice for you, that feels calming, feels peaceful, feels like you're your own friend? You're not, it's not commands. And so to experiment with that act of recognition. And if you like using these mental notes, then how do you make a mental note of the what's happening, so that mental note has the same quality of something you enjoy? And there's two steps in this clear recognition. One is the recognition itself. And the second one is, in the wake of that recognition, allowing yourself to experience more fully what you just recognized, if it's still there. So it's kind of like if you're paddling that boat down the river, you might, paddle and then lift the oar up and feel the momentum of the boat until the boat gets slower, and then you paddle again. And then you feel the momentum. And so that you're allowing, so the same thing, you make the act of recognition, and then you're there to experience it more fully. Like you're almost like the act of recognition is an act of opening yourself into the middle of it to really feel what's there, to take it all in, let it register. And then a second later, another act of clear recognition, this openness and receptivity. And this kind of rhythm, gentle, soft, relaxed rhythm of staying focused, staying keep doing the walking on the path, keep doing, staying in the boat and flowing on the stream. And trusting it, trusting it more than the distractions, the preoccupations, the sophisticated concerns, the great novel you're going to write. Just staying in the simplicity of clear knowing, until something begins to kind of click or settle in, that you start feeling, oh, I'm not so preoccupied anymore. I don't have the filter of my anxiety or my anger or my resentment, my aversion for everything that I'm touching or seeing. There's a clarity, there's a simplicity in what's going on here. But to come to that clarity and simplicity, we have to kind of do the practice. Take a step, take a step, take a step. When I was about, I don't know how old I was, but in my mid-20s maybe, I took up running and a little bit. And I was so amazed at how the first 100 feet, my brain would scream, stop, enough, can't do this. But, I just started. I learned very quickly not to listen to that voice, but to keep one running step after another and keep doing it. And after maybe 100 feet or 100 yards, I could feel something began getting into the groove or into the flow, or something began to kind of loosen up, and I could kind of just, it didn't feel like there was so much resistance to it. I don't know if that's the best analogy for meditation, but there's something like that goes on here too, that day by day as you do it, if you have to do it, as something begins that you get into the flow, something begins to unfold and to move. So in the classic Buddhist classics instructions for mindfulness practice in the Satipatthana Sutta, one of the exercises having to do with clear comprehension is the clear comprehension of our activities. That when any activity like straightening out your arm, eating, walking, sitting down, drinking, cleaning yourself, washing your face, putting on clothes, taking clothes off, laying yourself down to go to sleep, getting up from sleep, going to the bathroom. All these things are listed, and most of them are listed, as as activities that you do, everyday kind of activities, in which you practice being conscious of the activity as you do it. To be clearly comprehend, clearly recognize the activity as you do it. And so I say that in an enthusiastic way, that on a retreat, you'll be doing these activities. These are ordinary activities that happen through the retreat. You'll be eating, you'll be laying down to go to bed, you'll be cleaning yourself, showering, you'll be, putting on clothes, taking them off, going to the bathroom. The idea is to make them an integral part of the retreat. Not to see those as a break or a time not to practice. The real practice is sitting in meditation, and everything else is kind of like, you know, it's don't really need to pay, you know, it doesn't really count. But the classic instruction is, yes, it counts. To practice is simple, clear recognition, simple being conscious of your experience as you do it. The real benefits come when you start doing it more continuously through the day, more continuously throughout what you're doing. And slowly the continuity of it, something begins shifting and changing that is kind of not your doing. At some point, something begins to flow, something needs to pick up. And you feel carried by something. So one of the ways to practice on retreat is to really emphasize the importance of when you get up from sitting, when you sit down to sit, when you go to cook your food, if you're cooking, if you're cleaning up, if you're eating, all the things you do. The Buddha talked about having clear recognition, this conscious awareness, as we go to sleep at night. He talked about being able to do it as people die. I think it's one of my wishes. I see that one of the best things going is to be conscious, be aware. So I'm hoping that when I die, that it can be slow enough and not too painful, but slow enough that I can be conscious of the process. I'd be a little bit bummed myself if my death was sudden. I would like to kind of be there for it, to be conscious and be awake and experience that. It just seems like it's like of course I would be. It's so good to be conscious, to be aware and present. And the Buddha also talks about practicing clear recognition, comprehension when we're sick. And I found it invaluable. I don't recommend, but how do I say this? I don't recommend it. Can I say it that way? I don't recommend being sick on a retreat. Something like that. But if you are, it can be a fantastic time to practice mindfulness, practice clear recognition. And I've learned that I have to throw away all my ideas of what it's supposed to look like. You know, any state of concentration, anything, any idea of what practice is supposed to look like, I get liberated from when I'm sick. And it just becomes this very simple practice of, okay, just this, this is what it is. This is what it is. This is how it is. And it's kind of liberating to keep it that simple. And I benefited from being sick on retreat because of I had to kind of drop so much of the extra baggage that I didn't know I had about being on retreat. So this practice of clear comprehension, clear recognition, clear knowing, full awareness, being conscious as you go through your activity, to live a conscious life. So I offer all those words because maybe different ones of you will resonate with different words, different. So I don't want to limit you to just one definition or one English translation. And then to a little bit repeat what I said. This, the act of mindfulness, the act of clear recognition, the act of being conscious, it's something that we can experiment with. we can adjust it ever so slightly so that it feels like the way that we're aware, the way that we're being mindful, the way that we're recognizing, the way that we're maybe using mental notes, that it feels good. It's kind of nice. It's like it's somehow kind of medicine for us even. Or at least, even if it doesn't feel good, at least it doesn't feel bad. At least we're not beating ourselves up. At least we're not, you know, being kind of a drill sergeant for ourselves and trying to, you know, being harsh with how we note and how we're aware. And having said that, that inspires me to say that there are people who will protest and say, well, this is a lot of work to do clear recognition, to keep doing it step after step, moment after moment, keep the rhythm going, keep it going, keep it going. And, you know, it's okay to do some work. You know, if you go, like, you know, if you do hike, take a hike in the woods, you know, you have to walk. But I think for me, what I discovered was that this amazing thing, that it wasn't so much that I stopped arguing with being present. I stopped arguing with moments of clear recognition and the value of noting, protesting and resisting doing it, something. When I realized that the alternative was worse for me, that the alternative was I would drift often, sometimes into very pleasant thoughts, plans, ideas, fantasies, get caught up in things, and they were pleasant enough. So initially I thought, oh, this is, you know, maybe I was seduced by it even. Or I had, you know, I'm a sophisticated person, and I have sophisticated things to think about, and this simplicity of mindfulness, I mean, it's just like, you know, it's below my pay grade or something. And but then when I noticed what I did with my mind, when I wasn't doing the mindfulness, I wasn't doing the clear recognition or the noting, it wasn't healthy. It wasn't good. It wasn't onward leading. It wasn't freeing. It was actually draining or tiring. Even pleasant fantasies started to become wearing on me. And I recognized that this is not good. They're kind of alienating. I kind of became more alienated from myself and alienated from my environment. So coming to appreciate that the alternative is not so nice than doing the work, staying in the flow, coming back and doing it again and again. And so it's not so difficult to do this practice of clear recognition. It's not so difficult to do mindfulness. What's difficult is remembering to do it. But in and of itself, it's a very simple thing. And I like to say that what we're asked to do is to clearly recognize the obvious. If it's not obvious, you don't have to go searching or digging or looking. Just whatever's obvious in this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment, recognize it, feel it, experience it, register it. Then this moment, feel what's obvious, be with it. Just keep it going, keep it going, if it's obvious. And every possible experience you have can get a mental note. There's a label for everything. And if you don't have a label, it's not obvious to you that what words or how to recognize it, then it's a mystery. And then you just label it a mystery. So everything can get a label. Well, the label that I loved when I was long retreats for myself was chaos. When I couldn't make any sense of what was happening in the experience, I just said, oh, it's chaos. And that then, you know, was not quite chaos anymore. But what's the simplest way of recognizing, oh, this. Another one that I've done sometimes is confusion. I don't know what's going on, or not knowing. Well, that's what's happening. As opposed to getting lost and trying to figure out what I'm supposed to know, the obvious thing is, I don't know. Okay, this is not knowing, and what's that experience like? Take a moment to feel what that experience is. Be with it. And then, as I want to keep wanting to emphasize, the repetition of it, staying step after step after step in the easy, relaxed, ongoing way. It's kind of like, you know, we're walking a marathon. We're not walking, you know, down to the store to get some desperate something, coffee. It's just one step. Just keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. Keep it going when you're meditating in the sitting position. Keep it going when you're doing a walking meditation. Keep it going in between. Live a conscious life while you're eating. Live a conscious life while you're showering, while you're on the toilet, as you get ready for bed, as you put on your clothes. Live a conscious life when you're alone. Some people, especially on retreats, will be good practitioners until they go into their room. And then in the room, they just drop everything. And then they just like take a huge break, which might be appropriate sometimes. But you want to be careful that you don't go too far away from being conscious of what's happening. Stay close to this amazing capacity that we all have, this amazing gift. It's kind of a mystery what it is and how it is or how did we get it. This amazing thing called being conscious, capacity to be aware, the capacity to recognize what's happening as it's happening. Stay close to that. Maybe treat it like your lover. And be with it as if you're its lover. Be really there, moment after moment, caring for it, tending it, supporting it, staying with it. And then maybe one day you'll find yourself in the stream, in the river, and this unfolding of the path, unfolding of the practice will feel like you're being practiced rather than you're doing the practice. So thank you very much for, like I said, beginning your practice. And I hope that my wish for you is that you will really run the experiment. The experiment of living a conscious life, clear recognition. And see where it takes you. And then to say what I said yesterday as a support for this process. Practice clear comprehension, clear recognition in a way that supports the mind to get quieter. The thinking mind gets stiller, calmer. Not to put you asleep, but to quieter and clearer. And that's kind of like the guideline for how to do this practice. Can you a little bit? Can it be enjoyable? Can it be nice? Can it feel good? And it can help reassure your mind in such a way that the reassured mind feels it's okay to become quieter, calmer. So it's available to continue being conscious, living consciously, awarely. And let's see where the stream takes us. Thank you very much.